Welcome to the Operation Move podcast. My name is Zoe, and today we're going to be talking about how to get through the things that you need to do but you don't want to do. Which, after about 5 months of rehab, is something I know a bit about. I mean, I think that anything that has sort of no really verifiable short-term rewards and just long-term rewards is ultimately going to be harder to get yourself into the zone to do, because brains are just wired to be like, what is the short-term benefit to this? And something like rehab, where there's no discernible end in sight and there's no real sort of like payoff, that is going to be harder. And it's similar with things that where they take longer for you to improve. So that's why a lot of runners might struggle with like strength training and things like that. You're not outside, you know, you're on your own. It's, you know, not getting any sort of like happy hormones like you do with running, and oftentimes the improvements take a lot longer to show up and are going to show up in different ways, and maybe in ways that you don't always notice at first. So anything like that is going to be hard to get psyched up for, as are things like some of the more uncomfortable running workouts that you don't really enjoy, whether it be sort of hill sprints or other types of sprints, where the whole goal is to get your body to feel at least a little bit uncomfortable. So the first thing is to have a solid understanding of why you are doing it. If your coach has said, I want you to run 12 30-second hill sprints, and you don't have a solid concept of the training theory behind that, that's going to be a lot harder for you to do. If you know what the benefits of hill sprints are, it's going to be a lot easier to do, because you're able to then go, okay, this is going to suck, it's going to hurt, but it's only 12 of them, they'll be over quickly, and I know this is going to show up in my running in all sorts of other ways. So having that knowledge is going to help a lot with getting it done. So if you go into hill sprints knowing that, for example, it is a lower impact form of high intensity running because your foot is going up the hill, so it's less of an impact on the body, and you get up to sort of like a maximal effort while not going that fast, and so you avoid some of like the injury concerns that can happen if you are at maximal effort on flat ground. It's a strength workout, so it's strengthening all of the muscles, which you don't get in a standard non-hill type run, and it's improving the way your brain communicates to your muscles to get them to fire, which is going to increase your efficiency and your fitness, and it's going to teach your body to resist fatigue. And there's just a huge range of benefits for hill sprints. And if you know that going in, it's so much easier to do them, because you know that all of these things are happening that are not going to happen on your normal run. So the first thing is if you aren't sure why you are doing a specific type of workout, then it's great to find out what the benefits are and why you are doing it, because it just makes it so much easier to get yourself in the headspace to do it. The next thing is to do the hard thing first, whatever that is. So whether you're talking about working on strength imbalances or rehab, getting that done before you do all of the other stuff, because it's very easy to lose motivation as the day wears on. You get sort of some decision fatigue and it just becomes harder and harder. And also with the structure of your week, if you've got a hard workout, I always put mine like on the Monday because you get it done, get it over with. You don't have to think about it for the rest of the week. And it's one of those things that by the time you get to Friday, you're just doing all of the fun stuff, none of the hard stuff that you've already done at the beginning of the week. And that way you're also tending to go into it relatively fresh, because chances are you've had a rest day over the weekend at some point. The next strategy with it is to create some kind of reward system for yourself for things that are hard to do. So whatever that might be for you, whether it's, you'll go do the hill sprints and then you'll go out later and get your, favorite takeaway lunch, or whether it's that you'll hold off on your first coffee of the day until the thing is done. Or often for rehab, I'll resist listening to my favorite podcasts until I'm doing rehab, and I'll just listen to it while I'm doing rehab, and it makes it far less boring. And at least I've got something to look forward to while I'm doing 5 million hamstring raises. The next thing you can do is create a bit of an accountability system. So I try very, very hard and somewhat unsuccessfully not to bore people too much with all of my rehab on Instagram. But having someone that you have as a training partner, or having a support group that you can talk to, even if you just go in there and say, I'm about to do hill sprints, I'm about to do rehab, whatever it is, you are so much more likely to then do it because you've said it. And so I will often annoy Kirsten with the minutiae of what I'm doing, but it just gets me out the door and doing it, because once I'm actually doing it, it's fine. It's just sort of that initial sort of lack of wanting to do anything that doesn't involve just lying down. Another important part of it is to really pay attention when the benefits start showing up, because it's easy to, with long-term benefits to kind of ignore them or not pay attention to them, or just have them be kind of dwarfed by how extremely boring the thing is or how extremely uncomfortable it is. But in Learn to Run, people will often, they'll go do their hill sprints, and then the next easy run that they do will feel heaps easier. And it's good to make that connection that there has actually been an efficiency and a fitness adaptation in between those two things. So the next time that they are struggling to get it together to do the hill sprints, they'll remember the point of this is not to set some kind of like land speed record. The point of this is so that I enjoy the easy things more, easy becomes more easy, and this is actually giving me a benefit that I can enjoy. And it's similar with sort of like the rehab stuff. Like when I start to notice that the right glute minimus, that is extremely weak, that I start to feel it during squatting, I pay attention to that and I go, okay, it's working. Or when I start feeling the sort of like the weaker hamstring when I'm running, like this is all working and it's changing my mechanics and I'm becoming better. And it's really good to keep that in front of mind so that the next time I'm staring down the barrel of doing, adductor raises or calf raises or anything equally boring, that there is a benefit that I am getting to it, and it is clear what that benefit is. And the final thing is also to try as much as humanly possible, although it's often hard, try to find something within that hard thing that you actually enjoy. So for me, with hill sprints, like they're always hard, and they're supposed to be. They're, that is the whole point. Like if they're not hard, then they're not forcing any kind of an adaptation. But one of the things I love about hill sprints as a workout is that if I'm doing sort of faster running on the flat, there's always that kind of conversation in my mind of like, should I be going faster? Is this too slow? Is this too fast? Am I pacing correctly? It's all these sort of unknowns that happen with that. Hills, I know. I know that I'm always going as much effort as I can possibly put into it is going into it. And sometimes I'll be in a 1 or a 2 minute sprint and there's walking because that's how much effort is involved. So I'm never under any, there's never any question in my mind about the effort with hill sprints, which I actually really like because I finish it and I always feel like I've given 100%, and that's what I really like about it. And I also feel this great sense of accomplishment when it's done. So those are sort of the two things that I really enjoy about hill sprints, even though the middle bit kind of sucks. And similarly with rehab, although most of it is super repetitive, super boring, and it takes a really long time too. So it's not like hill sprints where it's like 30 seconds and it's over. It takes a long time. So I have daily stretches that I do that need to be done in sequence. So I have to do them together. I can't break them up. And that takes about 30 minutes. And then I have the strength portion, which is about roughly sort of like 3 sets of each exercise, and there's about 9 exercises, so that would take me a good hour. And I have running drills, which also take me a good hour. So generally speaking, what I do is I do stretches every day, and then I do strength one day and I do running drills the next day, just to kind of like break that up. But it's still a lot of time to get through all of that, and there's not like, there has been progression in terms of the amount of repetitions that I'm doing, but now I'm sort of at the point where I'm at the repetitions that I need to be. So, you know, like I'm doing 2 sets of 32 single leg hamstring raises on each side, and it's not really going to progress much further than that, I hope, because that would take a really long time. So that can be a lot harder to find that things that I would enjoy about that. But it's all about having the mindset of these are things that are going to make me a stronger runner, and I have to be a person who cares about that. And a person who cares about what I'm like as a runner and how injury proof I am and how strong I can be and how fast I can be is a person who does all of those hamstring raises, calf raises, adductor raises, you know, like oblique rolls, all of it. And so even though there's not a whole lot that I enjoy about it, I still have that sense of accomplishment when I finish going, I've committed to this and I have done it, even though I didn't really want to. And even though there's no real discernible payoff during it. And so I think even with things that are really monotonous, you can find value in being the kind of person who can commit to it and see it through anyway. And I think a lot of times it also just comes down to the fact that the things that you have either a slight or a strong resistance to doing in general are the things that you will feel most proud of when they're finished. And the more sort of practice you have at that, the better you get at doing it. So if I had been faced with this amount of rehab early on in my running career, I don't think my running career would have gone very far. And, you know, even with this, in this period of injury, I had somebody ask me the other day, that's just like, it's just a lot, you know, it's a lot to do. He said, couldn't you just not run? And I was like, yeah, no, I couldn't, you know. And whereas I think if that had sort of happened at the beginning, I probably could have, because it took me a couple of years to really fall in love with running properly. And I think that if I'd had those kind of stumbling blocks initially, it probably wouldn't have been worth it to me. But because I had been running for longer than that, and it's something that I'm really passionate about and I really loved, it became worth it to me to do whatever it took to, you know, to get back to that. So if it had been 4 hours a day, then I would still have said, okay, well, you know, like, I've got to do what I got to do, you know, like, it is. And I think that that's also something that you can take with things that are really rough to get going for, is to really keep in front of mind, you know, like, why you're doing it and is it worth it? Because, and, you know, and is it something that you are going to be glad that you did or not? You know, because not everything that is going to be challenging is going to be something that is worthwhile to you. So, you know, it is also, in a sense, sort of like picking your battles there. So one of the other things that I've done, because it is so time intensive, is I will often go, okay, like, rehab is the priority. It's easy to prioritize other things because they're more exciting, but I have to have, like, rehab is the most important thing in my pyramid, and then whatever else I can get done other than that is what I have to do. And if I have to sacrifice, you know, like, not going to CrossFit on this day or not doing this strength workout or whatever it is, running is sort of actually in a different category, because I'm still in the phase of it is part of the rehab, and in order for my rehab to progress, I have to be running. So that's a benefit, but I also don't, one without the other is not going to work. So both of those things have to happen at the moment. But the other stuff is more like if I have time for it. But even with that, like, doing, like, probably I do 600 meter intervals at the minute with a lot of recovery in between. So they're supposed to be hard, and they are. And that is a key part of the rehab, with loading up the muscles that were the most under stress with my injury, and I need to be kind of at a maximal output in order to kind of, like, see how they respond and how they adapt now that everything is just that little bit stronger. And there's no part of me that looks forward to it. But I am starting to get back to that thing of where I can enjoy it when it's done. And sometimes in the first couple, I can even enjoy it during. But I can also see how a lot of it too is just having been out of practice. And I have not done anything even vaguely resembling speed work or sprinting or intervals for months and months and months, and you forget how hard it is. And it takes a while of practicing it to remember that part of you that actually enjoys it, because there is a part of you that sort of that enjoys trying to improve, trying to pace it better, trying to find ways to, you know, just take that, just that little bit of edge of improvements, you know, and that is slowly starting to happen, but it does take practice. And I think that's just like with anything, and I think that you do have to have a kind of, like, just step back from the all or nothing mentality. If there's something that you struggle to get motivation to do, not throwing the whole thing out because you don't do it one day or because it sucks one day, and it is just practice. And sometimes when you are practicing, it's really good to just take the pressure off and go, today we're going to do these intervals. I don't really want to do them, but I know that I need to for these reasons, and I'm just going to, like, aim to go a little bit faster than what I normally would. And you will be surprised how much going a little bit faster than you normally would turns into, like, quite an aggressive sprint when your competitive spirit kicks in. But sometimes you just got to talk yourself into it. It's like going for a run in the beginning, a lot of times you'll say, we'll just go for a walk and see what happens. And you're like 5 seconds out the door and all of a sudden you're running. So sometimes you just have to trick yourself into doing things, because once you're out there, it'll happen and everything will take care of itself. So I hope that gave you a few ideas of ways that you can structure your challenges, whether they be in terms of more sort of accessory and strength work or rehab or your strengthening, or they are in terms of your hard work, or even for you it might be, I know something that I don't enjoy at all is meal prep, but it helps me a lot out through the week. So, you know, whatever it is, I hope that you got some good ideas from that. I think we've got one more week of having annual run club registrations are open, which means that you can sign up. It's about, you save, I think, about 2 months off what would be the normal price for 12 months of Run Club, and you also get a free team wear singlet or t-shirt depending on what you would like. And while you're in there, you have a support group. There are about 100 members at the moment, and you have a coach in there, Kirsten, who's available to answer any questions. She will do planning check-ins with you on a Monday, and she will do accountability check-ins on a Friday. You'll get access to weekly workouts for strength, as well as some runs if you just want to chuck in some variety into your normal runs. And there are also training plans that you can use from 5K to marathon distance, and they are all sort of separated out into beginner and the amount and intermediate advanced and the amount of days that you want to run. And if there's something that's, you know, 90% what you want to do, you can always ask about how you sort of change the training plan slightly to suit you a bit better. And, you know, like if you have weeks where, oh, I can't do one run this week, which one should I do, which one should I not do, then that's what Run Club is there for. And it's a great group of people. So if you want to jump in on that, that's finishing up on Sunday on the 17th, because I've got to do pre-orders for the singlets and t-shirts and everything like that. So that is open. Feel free to either email me or jump into the community group if you have any questions about that and what's involved. And at the moment, we're not doing Learn to Run until the 6th of August, but we've already had people start to join for that. And so I'm doing for the essentially 8 weeks in the lead up to that, I'm doing, we've got a introductory walking and strength program that people will be able to go through. So they're going to be in great shape habit wise and fitness wise to jump into Learn to Run when it starts. So you can also jump in on that if you would like. And I will speak to you next week. Bye.